Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did you hear what I said, bitch?
Bitch, no.
I said I really hate that song, but I think I liked you singing it, though.
You could hear me singing that song?
Yeah, I can hear it. That song's terrible.
But wow, okay. I've got egg on my face. You know, I don't like the song. It's just in my range.
I liked hearing you sing it, but I fucking hate that song. I hate that band, Fun.
I know, they suck.
Shut the fuck up, Fun.
Welcome to Scream Queen, a podcast about scary movies
from people not typically depicted in scary movies.
I just want to shout out Fright Rags to this Evil Dead trucker hat right here at my Rocky Horror Picture Show pin, and also Cavity Colors for Candyman pin.
And what Tommy got me. Look at that. Look at that. And then, wait. And then, wait.
I saw that on Fright Rags, and I thought of you because you have that really cool, is it a Gremlins pin with the toilet seat?
It's Ghoulies. Yeah.
Yeah, so I know you like those pins that like...
I have a street trash toilet seat and a Gremlin toilet seat. Mm. But you got me that, and you got me this shit that I can't even wear outside because it looks fucking creepy as hell. It really does.
You look like Dan Perkins.
Bitch, that's racist.
That mouth looked like Teddy Perkins' mouth.
You bought me that. Rude.
I didn't realize it until you just...
I put that shit on like, oh, bitch, I'll never wear this outside. It's funny, though. It is very funny. So thank you. Hi, Tommy. Nice to meet you.
My brother's in the basement.
I'll be right there.
Oh, God. What have I done? What have I unleashed?
You see my babies back here? Hey, my babies.
I see you're back in your apartment in Los Angeles.
My humble abode. Mm. Yes, it feels good to stretch out. Miss my folks, but I can FaceTime them fools all the time. They know where I'm at. I see them when I see them.
We won't be hearing Nita laughing thunderously in the background.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, we clowned on her so hard. I replayed the audio of the episodes we couldn't release or part, not just because of Nita, but we also pulled some shenanigans, but Nita was prevalent. She's prominent.
So we're nearing that time when I guess it potentially it should be, I mean, it's still fucking 85 degrees in this motherfucking city, but like, you know, we're kind of approaching October, which is the start of spooky season. I see people in my building have put in like decals.
Yeah.
This one in particular, all these trick-or-treat decals, you know, with that little kid with the burlap mask or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not really a holidays person. in general.
You mean like, the trick-or-treat movie?
I don't get worked up over Christmas. I don't really do Halloween stuff. But I did buy myself a full-on glow-in-the-dark skeleton curve-hugging bodysuit.
Ooh, I do like the curvy part about that. Although, just to update the audience, his last costume for the last forever has been a freaking skeleton costume. So he just got a glow in the dark. Now he got a Cardi B skeleton costume, basically.
Complete with butt shots and everything. what have you been watching, Dre? What have you been listening to? What have you been consuming in this supposedly changing season?
I just binge watched, well, sort of been, not really, but it was over a few days. I basically binge watched P-Valley on Stars, and
just got a Stars subscription for that exact reason. Yeah. My friend Sydney Freeland, a writer director, directed one of those episodes. I cannot wait to get into it.
It's sexy. It's fun. It's real. It's really good. I recommend it. They better fucking get renewed. I'm sure they will. Like those kind of shows are saving that network. Like Power, 50 Cent. Show. Now that he got a spinoff of that show now, and so yeah, they want all of that. They turned the I think Jodie Comer was, they had like, now it's the Spanish princess, but before that it was like the white princess, I think, and Jodie Comer was her from Killing Eve. They have some things up on down there. I'm never disappointed with what they have to offer on there. I
want to watch Hightown too.
Hightown, what's that?
It's like, it's set in Provincetown. It's like queer mystery thriller. Like somebody gets murdered and they have to figure out who did it, kind of a thing. And it's like a season of television and it's like gay as fuck. Mm. And the main character is this like really hot lesbian. Like, I'm like, I would bend over for you. Like, I would totally grab my ankles.
That's on Stars?
Yeah, it's on Stars.
Okay. I got to watch that. Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah, that.
I've been watching a lot of Host. I've been rewatching Host. I'm going to make a bold prediction. Mm. I think Host is going to endure even beyond like our current pandemic moment. Partly because I don't think Zoom meetings will ever be a thing of the past.
No.
Because I've been able to hang out with people at the same time when they've been in like Florida and Texas and Washington. And so it's like, oh, I can actually, all of these people for whom it was impossible to get into a room altogether, except for maybe once every other year, we can have game night every Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Like that kind, and also I get to stay in touch with all of my New York friends.
Most of my friends are really introverted extroverts, so exactly. And you were saying?
Well, and like, you know, I've been able to like meet new people in the Zoom sphere and actually develop great friendships. I have this new friend, Alia, who I met on a Zoom with my friend Aiden, and like he was in Seattle and she was down here and I was here too. And it was just like, now, you know, now that's just a good friend of mine who I text all the time. So it's just like, so I think Zoom or like virtual meetings are here to stay. So I think that's one reason why Host is going to endure. But I think, you know, if horror films are necessarily comments on their time, I was rewatching it and it's very clearly an early pandemic film, right? Because they hit us over the head with this fact that you can't go outside. So this was like a shelter in place, like that first month, early quarantine film. And I think it's such a brilliant subversion of the genre, not subversion, but a brilliant innovation of the genre, kind of similar to Alien, where it's like claustrophobic and atmospheric. And that first instinct that you get when the ghost comes up or the demon comes up or whatever, you know, the first thing you always say is get out of the house. And these people can't because it's quarantine. And I just think that's such a brilliant, like as I've watched it more, I've just been like pumped on it more and more and more. And it's fucking 45 minutes. So.
And it was funny. It's like, well, I watched it in a comfortable environment. Like I watched it in broad daylight in my parents' backyard in a freaking gazebo with my feet up and I was drinking a freaking, I might as well have been drinking a Mai Tai. I probably just had like a shot of tequila or something.
Gazebo in this bitch. Listen.
Yeah, yeah. My dad hand built and constructed himself. I saw
the bitch in the early
pandemic. No, different one. Yeah. Different one. Oh, not even one.
Okay,
I
was. Okay, so you just be the gazebo people.
We up in there. We got all these fans and netting and it's cute. And anyway, so I was up in there watching it. And I'll tell you, like, I understood and I was intrigued and involved in the claustrophobia of what they were trying to portray. And also, it in a way was comforting because we're all in that predicament right now. We're all in the same space, living in our rooms, dealing with ourselves. So I think I liked the film more because I found it relatable. And something about that scene wasn't, or that whole movie wasn't claustrophobic to me, but it was very stifling.
Yeah.
It was
So every time I have like a free 45 minutes, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go watch Host again. So it's kind of evolved into like at least one of my favorite films of this year.
Yeah.
But I'll be interested to see like if in the future it becomes unwatchable for me because it reminds me of a time that I don't want to remember, or if it like is kind of a secret comfort. I don't know, because you never know what happens with trauma.
You never know. Right now, do you want that shit's great. What's up?
Yeah. Do you want me to talk about what we're getting into, or do you want to take it? Because I know you like to take it.
Bitch, first of all, you can just tell them what we're getting into, and then I'll lead it in after that.
So, for one of our main topic discussions this week, we're going to get into Channel Zero, The Dream Door, on Shudder, this anthology horror series that I've recently got turned on to thanks to Drea Wop Washington. And we're also going to talk about, of course, Lovecraft Country, because that's kind of what we do on this show. We're going to end with our Scream Queen of the Week, Shardy Vinson as Aaron, I believe, in You're Next.
So, first up, we're getting into Channel Zero, The Dream Door. This is written, directed by Nick and Tosca. There was four seasons before it unfortunately got canceled, but they were all based on creepypastas. And then they took them further. A little creepypasta.
Creepypasta.
Creepypasta. Creepy. So this stars Maria Sten. She plays Jillian. She was also Miss Denmark Universe 2008.
I mean, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, so. She's stunning. So this woman is just conflicted, just taken over by so many gaslighters. But basically, the series follows a newlywed couple who have also married each other's secrets. And then one day, in their basement, a door that has never been there just appears out of nowhere. And thus, the chaos begins.
I mean, I love like a good, in a similar way that I am intrigued by The Twilight Zone, because it swings for the fences. I mean, mm-hmm. It connects maybe two episodes out of the season, but at least it goes for it. And that's what I'll say about Dream Door. And I actually liked it. And I hadn't watched a sci-fi original that had this kind of attention to detail, mm-hmm. in terms of like the way that it was shot and the makeup and all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, I'm used to sci-fi as being hella cheese. You know, and this was like, there were some Jesus at the end, I'm not gonna lie. But like, for the most part, it was fucking terrifying because Jillian's dream door creature, Pretzel Jack, is just a terrifying creation with the biggest garish smile and palest skin. And it's just like a contortionist. And it just looks like, but it doesn't look like, oh, like it actually looks like a practical physical marvel rather than being some kind of bastardized computer version, computer graphics version of it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting as a premise to have a door that opens you up to, because I just got done talking about trauma and like how what's this time going to have an effect on all of us in this time in quarantine and in lockdown and that kind of stuff. But to have a door that reconnects you to a survival mechanism of your childhood trauma, because that's what Pretzel Jack is for her. Like, like when she was a child and her daddy left her, she created this I mean, later became a monster, but she created this protector, really, mm-hmm. To kind of safeguard her and her emotions from the loss of a parent, you know? And in, not just a loss, but like neglect. It wasn't like this parent died, he moved on to another family, mm-hmm. which plays on later in the show. But like, I thought that was just a very smart way of, because the door comes out as Jillian is potentially entering another trauma, right? Or another conflict, because she's being gaslit by fucking Tom.
Everyone. Jillian is gaslit by everyone in this show. And I'll tell you what I realized after this is my fourth or fifth watch of the show and in its entirety. I realized it's Drop Dead Fred, but horror. That's what this fucking show is. I could not believe I missed that. Like, I missed that completely. Like, whoever wrote the original story, and clearly the director and writers who adapted it, they loved that movie the same way you and I do. I'm sure mm-hmm. you love that movie, right? Because we're not
friends. Oh, yes. I had that poster in my room. So.
Okay, good. But because we're not friends if you don't. I was, you know, okay, I do recall being not underwhelmed, but when you see the makeup in daylight, you know, mm-hmm. what I really realized, it still was scary to me in daylight. When he crawls into that psychiatrist's office, that, and the guy that plays Pretzel Jack, his real stage name is Twisty Troy. You should look up Twisty Troy. And he's
how
a professional.
Twisty Troy?
I put it in the dock. I said he's got to be over 6 feet. Hey.
Talking, yes.
Yeah, he's a professional dancer, and he just knows how to move that body.
Oh, he does.
And
he absolutely does. I was like, am I going to grab my ankles for Pretzel Jack?
Yes. A bitch would do a back bend. You would do a back bend. I was, two black leads, and which is just so important, and let's get into like the weird incestuous shit that was going on in that show that they didn't really touch on. Like, so we discover that homeboy that moves in next door is actually her
neighbor,
brother,
who also conveniently has a dream door and that like knows everything that she's going through, right?
So,
and like,
convenient.
A level of trust with her.
Yeah. And this motherfucker is like, yeah, this would be convenient, or this would be, you know, very relatable. And y'all won't catch on to the fact that not only am I your next door neighbor, but that I'm very understandable about the fact that you have this door. And I was just reading books about the fact that animals come out of these doors and yada yada. Also,
as if like that's just something that like popped up in the Atlantic or some shit, or like, oh, that was that New York Times article that just came out about bitches having like little doors in their basement, like as if it was so common. And I was like, okay, Jillian, I'm gonna give you the benefit of the doubt that you were in a moment of crisis and just needed someone to listen to you, but girl, that was a little too convenient.
And well, I mean, we're gonna get into it, but I mean, we talk about the gaslighters. So her husband, Tom, his best friend, Jason, you know, is straight up in her face. Like, you know, and it's not that she's not crazy. Something is going on. And what really is frustrating is the fucking fact that this man thinks that he impregnated a woman and it's not his fucking kid.
Tom, that ain't your kid, bro. That ain't your kid. Like, I know that you think you had you made an impression on this lady. She's literally been telling you, and this is not Jillian, but this lady in the neighborhood, literally been telling you, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone. And Tom is like, no, that's my seed.
That's my baby.
Like,
that's my baby. Mm-hmm.
It ain't.
I'm that baby, like, daddy.
We learn halfway through.
That is my baby daddy.
and lady tells Jillian. She don't even tell Tom. Yeah. And it's like, you could have neatly wrapped this up years before this moment by just telling him, bro, that ain't yours.
But
that
he baby- also puts it on her. Like, I don't trust, because your dad betrayed you and had a secret family. I didn't think you were capable of having a family. And that's why I did what I did. And I held on to this. And because he technically didn't cheat. Like, it was, there was no cheating.
It was before.
Before it happened.
Because it was before they knew each
other.
Yeah.
But it was like an emotional, like betrayal, you know?
Because
like,
he held on to it.
Yeah.
It did never at one point be like, yo, so I might have a baby from this other bitch. Like, at no point in his relationship with Jillian did he say, one thing you should know about me is that I have a child.
Oh, I might have a child. I might.
I believe I supposedly.
And who the fuck really needs therapy? Him. His ass. Mm-hmm. I mean, they both, everybody needs therapy.
I mean, everyone could use
therapists
therapy. Let's be
need
honest.
Therapists.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I'm sure my therapist has a therapist because all the shit I be laying on him. So
this nigga right here.
he charges me extra because he has to take some of that money and go to a therapist of his own self.
I want to talk about like the practical effects, the violence of this show. It like every season is on point. It is nasty. It is nasty.
Gets his eyes poked out, gouged out. I don't do eyes. I don't do eyes and I don't do hands. I don't like when things go through people's hands and I don't like it when things go through people's eyes. And this was an eye thing because like it turns out that her brother who wants to mac on her, secret brother from, you know, another family, because they had the same daddy. Mm. He also has like a weird-
From another
like,
mother.
From
secret
another-
brother from another mother.
Literal mother. he's got a kind of pretzel jack too, like a tall, like gangly looking murderous thing that just goes up, takes their daddy's eyes out.
Yeah, his name is Tall Boy. Tall Boy. How imaginative.
You know what? I'm buying
and,
a t-shirt.
And Tommy would fuck it.
I'm down. you know, it's been a while, Dre.
I ain't judging. I was just trying to put your information out there just in case y'all know.
Yeah, just in case, you know.
Tommy will fuck it. Just let me know.
You know, I'll take very racy text messages and voicemails. I doubt that we'll be meeting up in person, but feel free to dirty talk me.
This bitch will. He's down to rub hazmat suits with whoever has a mask.
Okay, moving on. I'm curious, Trey, about.
Wait,
go ahead.
What?
You go ahead. No, you go. No, you go. Go. No, Drea, it's your birthday.
Almost in a few weeks. When they find the dad in the garage and the pugs are eating
oh,
the dad.
Lord.
Jesus. That's a scene. And let's talk about they don't really mention it, but the there's blatant racism in this show. Like the cops don't react when he confesses to multiple murders. He's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That,
it's like, what does it take you to
house?
Pull a gun on a fucking white man?
They're
like,
buried in the backyard.
He's up there killing your asses. He literally confessed. And they're like, well, we'll take you in, but, you know, we'll take you to McDonald's first. Like.
And I clearly that they did that on purpose. I wish they would have, like, really drove it home with that statement. Like, they, you know, and then the sheriff at the end when homeboy's, like, standing outside of his house and, like, this is the guy you all just arrested. He is in front of my house. And that
and
guy
I believe
pulls a
he
gun
has
on
blood
the
on him too. Yeah.
And then tall boy or whatever walks over and he stands there and the guy does not draw the gun on him. He just freaks out. You know, it's just like, what the fuck? Because
that tall person was too pale for him to draw a gun on.
Yeah. Albino man. He was alopecia man. Or, no, he didn't have alopecia. But,
little powder ass bitch.
Yeah, little powder ass baby bitch. overall, I'm just like, oh, and there was also way too much hot sex in this show. It's not.
Yo,
it's really rude for.
We got
like,
a lot of ass. I'll say we got a lot. Yeah, of ass. They did have. I mean, forever. However, gaslighty Tom was. What they really did drive home was how much physical chemistry they had. Like
yes.
That couple got
that
it.
That kept them going, and they were like, "Wait a second, are we just sex, or is there more here?" You know,
and then they made that baby.
Why? That? Why did that have to happen? Why did that happen? After he makes his statement, that is such a fucking weird direction to go. And why did that happen? And but what? I guess what they were trying to say is after he accused her of not being a nurturing person, he's the first one to walk out the door as soon as he gets a baby. and Ooh, it's a baby
that like immediately dies. Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, they have to watch it as it dies, and but he couldn't do it. But she did. She was like, "We made this thing out of a door. It came out of that
She's
door.
Cradling that shit, and it's getting pus all over her and shit. I can't. I don't think she's gonna be able to dry clean
it don't
that.
Got eyes or a mouth or nose or anything. Well, I mean, I think it had a mouth, but it was. It was.
But she
much.
Just she creates a lot of sketchy ass shit. Because remember when she tried to make that rabbit? She's not the best at this dream door bullshit. No. Like, let's just say it. I know Jillian, and I love you, and your character, and everything. But you suck at this.
She was never supposed to tap into it. She also had tantric sex with her brother, that fucking dude.
They literally also made out.
They made out too. Oh god.
You know that brother kind of looks like. I don't know if you ever had this, but I had a lot of cats growing up. And every now and then, you know, you get like a kitten that's eyes were just a little bit too big and wet and you knew it was going to die early. That's kind of what he reminds me of. Like, and yeah. He gets like sicker and sicker, you know, because he keeps making these creatures, but he can't feed his body enough to keep up with like, he just looked like he wasn't long for this world. And I'm glad he got taken the fuck out of it. But that tall Paul Jack, whatever his name was, that motorized knife thing that he used to like pin that dude into the wall and just like
that was great. That was very satisfying. I'm not happy with how Pretzel Jack went out. We're both not happy about that.
Oh Lord, that shit was gross.
You brought First him back all, just to do him? That to him, and then we it's like what? But she it's can like bring him back anytime.
That was inside their blood looked like you know when they kill the robots and
alien all that which grossed me out when you find out that homeboy is an android or whatever at the end and they cut him in half and then he's just like all these little like wiry it's not wiry but it's like tubes and shit and it's spurting out it was like cum. It was like
just cum and titty milk, just all over the place.
I don't know if it's titty milk. I think it's yak milk. It's like yak milk.
Yak
and cum.
Titty. Yeah, come out of yak titty, so it's titty milk. All milk is technically titty milk. So
when you think about it. Hey y'all, I don't know if you knew about Tommy and all the advice he gives over on his Instagram. Just check his stories. He'll tell you about titty milks and
I'm more about my plants. Teeps on plants.
How are my plants that I get or our plants, our babies?
It's starting to flower again, much like Jillian watching her creations die slowly. I had to watch all of the petals on that plant fall off and I felt horrible. But then I realized it's because it don't drink tap water. You have to give it bottled water. And I was like, of course Dre would give me a fussy ass, bougie ass plant like this that only takes bottled water. Like, bitch.
You better get it right. You better talk to that plant. Play it sexy as art. You better play that plant brandy. That plant likes brandy. The first Never Say Never and just the title album. Just play that on a loop and that plant will be happy.
Do we have any final thoughts on Dream Door, the series? I'm curious because this is the only series of Channel Zero that I've watched. How does this stack up against the other seasons?
This is my favorite, but I would say it goes this one, then it goes Channel Zero, the first one, then Butcher's Block, and I'm trying to remember what the other one is, but anyway.
Didn't leave an impression on you.
No. There's one in there. No End House. No End House, which also has Homeboy that played Mr. Jingles in American Horror Story. He's in it.
He gets everywhere in these scary
shit. He's all over the place. It has a few people in it, and there's another black, I want to say there's a black final girl in it. They're all great. That one just kind of really towards the end, just like it's all over the place, kind of. It just goes on too long.
Turns into like a Ryan Murphy joint where it's just like,
Never that extreme. It's just, it just gets really dark and really slow and just like it's a lot. But Channel Zero, just start from the beginning. And it's also got our homegirl from Fiona Shaw.
And
she's one of the leads in the first one, and it's fucked up. It's a bunch of kids who can only see a channel that parents can't see. Parents see static, and the kids see these murderous puppets that basically tell them to go kill people. And it's
okay. That's a little bit like Season of the Witch vibes, Halloween 3.
Mm-hmm. But it's even more so. It's Children of the Damned and all that up in there. So, yeah, this is the number one, though. I think this one, hands down, is my favorite. I'm sorry it ended. But he's also gone on to, he's now working on the new Child's Play TV series that's coming out soon on Sci-Fi and FX, I believe.
Sweet. So for our part two of our main discussion, we're going to be talking about Lovecraft Country, episode 5, Strange Case, which for me was a long time coming because I loved Ruby's character and her introduction in the pilot.
Since day one, you know,
she wanted a tall, skinny papa, and she finally got one in this man, Maximilian or Jeffrey or whatever his name was. I don't remember. He was just, you know, Mr. Aryan Nation. Offers Ruby the opportunity... He offers Ruby a potion that will allow her to become a white woman. Because that's where we open up this episode. Ruby wakes up in this white woman body and is just like, what? And it's just like down, running up and down the street in a house coat, her hair all over the place, looking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, and she's like in the South Side. So she's sticking out like a sore thumb, right? She's the sole white person on these streets. The police come, obviously, and she immediately reacts as if she were still black, which is like she gets up against the wall, puts her hands up, like, I'm not going to do this. And they just start questioning the black boy who bumped into her. All he wanted to do was eat popcorn on the street. You know what I mean? That's all he wanted to do. I really felt it when they knocked the popcorn out of his hand and went all over the place. I got sad. I really did. And immediately they start questioning him, about to beat him down. And Ruby kind of comes to her senses, kind of roots herself in her moment and is like, oh shit, I'm white. And she's like, that boy didn't do anything to me. And then they take her back to Aryan Dude's place. This episode was gross. This episode had some of my favorite moments of body horror of the season, of like all the episodes of Lovecraft Country that I've seen so far. And it also ended on a very complicated note for me. We also get more of Montrose. Montrose's sexuality, Montrose's, I want to say, queer liberation to a certain extent. Like, he kind of, you know, we find him in the ballroom scene. Tick almost beats his ass senseless.
For good and, purpose.
You know, because he had just killed Yahima. And we get to another reason why I like this show is so good is that it presents us with a real life horror while also giving us this fantastical horror. And in my opinion, the real life horror is anger. Tick is angry and he's scared and he scares Letty and he doesn't want Letty to be scared of his anger. Ruby is fucking pissed as hell, you know, because she's like, man, these white people are fucked up and they get away with so much more than we even know, you know. Christina's angry. You know, we figure out some stuff about her and the fact that she's been taking this potion too.
And at the end, you can say it. What happens at the end with her? Oh yeah, we'll get there. Okay.
We'll get there. But then also Montrose is mad. And, you know, we see that his anger has attached itself to Tick. And he's also taking it out on Sammy because he won't kiss Sammy. And it's just like, bitches are mad in this episode.
Yes.
What do you think, Dre?
The main thing that really rang true to me was I hated the fact that, okay, so in order for her to be able to work at this fancy ass place, she got to be white, you know? But then she walks up in there, realizes that this black young lady, at first I thought it was going to be like a looks issue, like a weight thing, but really it was because she just got taken advantage of. And that's why she got that job. Mm-hmm. It's conflicting, but I understand, but completely understandable to watch her give her shit, you know? even though that was, but the thing that you brought up was about the two, this where we start with and at before the ballroom scene with Montrose and his lover, and that intense ass scene that I had to watch with my father. Jesus Christ, I watched that. I'm so happy to be able to watch the show by myself now, because I can, the older I get, the more I cannot watch sex. And I'm, swear to God, people are horny and just like as fuck these days. I watch sex scenes sometimes and I'm like, this is a lot. Like, this is a lot. This is porn. And I'm not mad at it. I'm just like, yo. But it don't, yeah, don't watch this show with your parents, by the way. But you brought that, the conflict of that to where it ends with Ruby doing in homeboy, yeah, so with that heel.
We have two moments of insertive anal, I want to say intercourse. One of them is intercourse and one of them is rape. Mm-hmm. But where stuff is getting put into the butt. You know, Montrose putting it up Sammy's butt. And kind of, it's kind of, you know, like sometimes hot sex can be a little violent. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I do want someone to slap me and spit my face. No, not spit on me. Please don't spit on me. I don't ever want that
shit. I don't
shit.
Need to be
sometimes,
spit on.
Sometimes, you know, I like to get, like,
but you
know,
can grab my hair a little bit. Or, and,
you know, yeah. Sometimes I feel like, bit. Are we fighting?
Mostly I just like, let me punch you. But anyway, huh?
Sometimes it be like that, though. Fucks. It's been 6 months. Anyway, so we have an instance of a penetrative, consensual anal intercourse between Montrose and Sammy that is like conflicted. It's conflicted because it's clearly something that Montrose wants. Mm. You know, what's always weird, I always find this weird about dudes, that somehow having sex in the butt isn't as gay as kissing. Like, I've been with a few people who were on the questioning side of their sexuality, and somehow kissing was like more gay than fucking in the butt. And I was like,
straight men do this too.
You need to work out some things in your soul.
Straight men do this too. I called out a guy I used to date on this shit once. Like, right when we started dating, he was like, oh, I don't kiss in the mouth. I'm like, oh, you're like a prostitute. That's what I told him. Like, oh, you're like a prostitute. You don't kiss on the fucking...
You don't kiss on the mouth.
Yeah, he said that shit to me once. And I was just like... And then I said that to him and he busted up laughing. I'm like, what is it called? Pimps up, hoes down. Or these always... Remember those documentaries on HBO about like hoes on the corner? And it was just... They would just watch hoes get fucked up. And they were like, oh, no kissing, honey. I don't want you to fall in love with me. But anyway.
And you know, no shade to hoes, because some you got to have your
no
roles.
No fucking shade. No shade to hoes. You out there.
No shade to hoes.
Working that
you know,
pussy.
You got to get your money.
I wish them hoes, though. I wish they had live cam back then, so they didn't have to have everybody up in their pussy. They could just be looking up in their pussy. It didn't have to deal with all these nasty ass people getting to be a part of them. That is my only gripe with prostitution, because I don't feel like everybody deserves somebody's body. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Sometimes, you know,
not for real though. Like, it is your prerogative to use your body as that if you choose. But I really just. I just want people to not have to settle, you know,
or resort to when other avenues of employment aren't working or whatever.
Yes.
Here's what I will say. Okay. So Ruby gets a job at Marshall Fields or whatever at this department store, as a white woman, immediately is like manager, you know, doesn't have to be sales girl or nothing. The first stage just gets promoted. And you know, the guy who hires her, her boss, gets a little handsy.
Yeah.
And she mentions to the other white ladies, like, you know, does he ever, and they just kind of laugh it off.
I just wanted to mention, she walked in there with her same resume that she would have if, you know, if she was black. And she was turned away. And then, yeah.
And qualified as hell. Then, you know, finds out that the other black girl who got hired did not have the same credentials that she had. And in fact, had very little. And you know, that makes her mad. And there's a moment there where the advice that she's giving her colleague, her subordinate, would have been different had it been Ruby as Black Ruby and not Ruby as White Lady. Mm-hmm. Because she was like, you have to be 2 times better than these fools. White people are fucked up in so many other ways. Like, you have to ascend. But I just imagining hearing it from her perspective, it's just like another white lady berating her,
yeah.
You know? But then, you know, they're like, oh, she's going to take us to the South Side. So then all these Marshall Field's employees and these white ladies and this white dude, you know, they go to like a Black bar in the South Side. And the boss, aggressively pursues the Black lady who works there, tries to make out with her. She pushes him off. He calls her a slur. Ruby's watching this, the chunks of the white lady's flesh falling off of her body, which has become so routine at this point in the show, this white lady's flesh falling off of, that we just, 40% of this is like Ruby with like white lady flesh falling off her. And like you pointed out, never shows us or tells us or bothers to explain how she gets home. You know what I mean?
They do that a couple times, like, how'd this bitch get from the department store to here? How'd she get from this party to here? Like, okay, anyway. But I'm not mad at that stuff.
No, me neither. Because it's like, I don't need the practicalities of this magical world. No. You know, she just got home. Okay, got it. So, you know, she comes into the dude's place, to the office at Marshall Fields as the white lady, as White Ruby, and tells him she's going to have to quit because she has all these feelings for him. And she doesn't want these feelings to interrupt their working relationship. Takes his tie, ties him up, gets him, you know, face down, ass up.
That's the way we like the food.
And at this point, like, because she hasn't had the potion in a while, once again, white lady's flesh falling off her body, takes her stiletto and repeatedly stabs it up this man's ass.
And like, repeatedly. That is one of the gnarliest fucking scenes I have ever seen. And again, I had to watch that with my dad. So that was... but my dad was just like, I just did a little peek and he was just like... yeah, that shit was, and then the next thing is like, that shit was crazy.
It was intense. It was really intense, and
that made up for that moment in the when she confronted her, you know, and you know, like when she confronted her as a white woman and went off, you understood her, all her frustrations, right, in that moment for me. But you know, I like that she really did stand up for you know her fellow people. And women and all of that, all those things. But the link between this beautiful moment of two men connecting and then you end it with, as you said,
you rape with a stiletto.
Yeah.
It's hard for me not to see those two moments in scenes that are very close to each other. They are necessarily, because they were written and put in the same episode, commenting on each other.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to say what that means. I'm just here to say,
I think you are here to say what that means. And you should, and the fact that you brought that up, and it does mean something. Even if it was unconscious, you know, like, or it was a subconscious choice to make that decision, to put those two scenes together in one movie. I feel like there was some intention behind that. I didn't see it though. I wasn't bothered by it because I was looking at it for the shock value and for the quality. And I was I was shocked and gratified by what happened to that man. But at the same time, they made a thing that is there. Maybe they're describing how this thing can be both beautiful and both horrific. You know, mm-hmm. there's a separation between the two things.
But like, right. And it would just, I think if we had more instances of it, or if there was a different, it just seemed to me to say that this is a violent way to interact with another human being. And I was like, well, I don't know, like rape definitely. But if there's this mirroring or this rhyming of this moment with another one, that is the connection of two people. It just made me think like, maybe you're right. Maybe they're showing the contrast that this could be a moment of connection and a moment of violence, given it differently who it applies to and and who the characters are.
Yeah.
But I just loved, can we just talk about Montrose and the ball scene for a second? Because that was one of the most transcendent scenes in this whole show. Because Montrose starts off the scene, and this is what I'm talking with, like, good writing. There's like the character starts off the scene one way and the end they're polar opposite. So Montrose starts off like, I thought at any given moment when they were backstage with Shangela and them that he was going to hit Sammy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like
in and that, we had Shangela and Monet Exchange, a Monet surprise guest in the, and they were lovely. They were so good.
And but, they added a lot of levity to an otherwise really tense moment where Sammy is performing backstage, knowing full well that Montrose is looking at him. And it was like uncomfortable, because I was like, this man, because we've only seen this man in anger or this man in abject fear, you know, but I haven't seen him have a moment of reckoning with his sexuality. And oftentimes, and this is like, again, I've occasionally in my younger years dabbled with people who were on the questioning side of things, and you really don't know the person you're going to wake up to the next morning. Even if the night was great, you know, sometimes they wake up, because you never know what fear is going to do to a person.
Oh yeah.
You don't know if they're going to accept it or if that's going to turn into anger.
Our emotions, it's amazing that we interact as well as we do as human beings. I think about that often. It's amazing that there's not more chaos and deaths and just chaos, just pure chaos. Because people aren't, so many people aren't thoughtful. So many people, and if anything I've learned from this time that we're living through right now, is what we've always been aware of, how careless people are, but now people are on our level in that sense. They understand how it's important to know about every type of life, every culture. How the fuck don't you know? And just to be absorbed in what you do, what a selfish thing. What a selfish fucking thing. And I still got to be over here and accepting of people and, oh, they didn't know any better. And I try, but I'm at the same time, I'm just like, bitch, you better fucking figure it out. Cause most people do, just how to treat somebody good and decent.
Right. And it's a privilege to be that self-absorbed.
What a privilege.
You know, but like by the end, so Montrose starts off as this like cauldron of rage. And then there's a moment when they're in the ball and Sammy's performing and just kind of like beckons him over. And I was just like, oh God, Montrose, do the right thing, because you have so disappointed me in the past episode and a half. And he embraces Sammy and he makes out with him. And he allows himself to be literally lifted up by this community in a just beautifully choreographed moment that I'm just like, okay, Montrose, sit in this version of yourself, like be this version of yourself,
right?
You know?
Yeah. It's crazy how, because again, every episode is like a movie in itself, and it's so they can mess up. And you can hate a character from one episode and then love a character on the next. And
and see how we're sometimes the product of so much pain that we don't know how to talk about and how to name and how to remedy. And so we're doing the best that we can, but sometimes, like, because pain comes with growth, it's hard to know what's growth and what's just damage if all you're used to is pain.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And you're just repeating fucking terrible habits.
Any final thoughts on this episode of Lovecraft
Ruby
Country?
Look real sexy coming out of that white woman suit. And
the final moment, we learn that fucking Christina was this white man all along.
The whole time.
I kind of clocked already, but Ruby was just finally getting it in. And then it turns out that this man was Christina all along.
But I kind of like their connection in a weird way. It looks like there might be something cute about to happen between them.
You know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't hate that. No. Christina is devious and serving looks.
She's serving some look. God damn.
Sometimes I'm just like, I know I hate you, but Okay, bitch. Okay, bitch. You came out in that whole outfit. You just had bitch better have my money playing on your fucking silver car. Like
that was wonderful, actually. I was like low-key. I wasn't mad at that. I love that her little intro. So yeah.
I was like, do I stand?
Yes. I don't know if we can go that far yet with her.
I don't know, but I'm
do.
Like,
I do stand the actress behind the character. We stand that actress.
You know, it's one of those things where you can hate and appreciate.
I lost you. Where'd you go?
I said where you can hate and appreciate. You know, like, okay.
Yes, she's playing that character properly. Like, mm-hmm. We forgot that there's another person behind that. So way to go. Any final thoughts for you?
You know, Tick, at some point you're going to have to let Letty toss your salad. So be ready for that. I think that would work some of your anger issues out, to be honest with you.
Ooh, bitch. Yeah, yeah, he's real. Ooh, he uptight. Uptight.
He uptight, but his booty.
That booty, though. God.
Oh, they had car sex this time, huh? That was good.
Yes. They had garage sex. Garage sex.
Garage sex. It was rugged. It was real rugged. Mm-hmm. I was into it.
I was here for it. Yeah, Tick be getting it in. Jesus Christ.
I mean, he has been in... Well, we'll get into this in the future. But yeah, he's not wanting... For places to put the thing.
he is not longing. No longing for, I mean, there is some longing, but not, it long, but not longing. Okay, I got
to
stop.
You know, you can turn around at some point, Tick. You can turn around at some point. Okay, you can see the other side too. Wouldn't hate it. HBO, you gave us Watchmen. Can you throw us a bone in this one too?
How much y'all paying for this subscription? Y'all better fucking throw that dick in. Thank you. But anyway.
Do you remember do you remember Queens of Comedy?
Of course.
You know when Samora was like, you know, for fucking $14 a movie, Denzel better swell. Like, I want to see if Wesley is Nestle. Like,
I forgot. Some more. I've been watching some more since I was way too little to watch some more. But like, goddamn. Like, way early Def Comedy Jam days, like 93, 92. And you wonder why I am the way I am. But Denzel better swell. That's the name of this episode.
Oh, all right. Shall we move on?
Did you hear what I said, bitch?
Bitch, no.
I said I really hate that song, but I think I liked you singing it, though.
You could hear me singing that song?
Yeah, I can hear it. That song's terrible. But
wow, like, I've got egg on my face. You know, I don't like the song. It's just in my range.
I liked hearing you sing it, but I fucking hate that song. I hate that band. Fun.
I know. They suck.
Shut the fuck up, Fun. I want to get into the Scream Queen, bitch.
Are you ready to get into the Scream Queen? Are you ready to get into the Scream Queen? No, are you ready? No, I just want to know if you're ready. Are you ready?
Did I ask this? Did I prompt this fucking question?
What did I say? What did I say?
I tell you, bitch.
Horror. There's some horrors in this house.
There's some horrors in this house.
We're so stupid. All right, let me just get into this. Our Scream Queen this week is Miss Sharni Vincent as Erin in Your Next. We as Scream Queen want to be very judicial about how we choose our Scream Queens. And as such, we have taken great cares to highlight women of color who make it to the end of films like this because they don't often do. However, every now and then, there is a white bitch that you have to take your hat off to. And I will have to say the Erin in this movie. This is movie, and there's these rich folks, they have this family reunion dinner. It's acrimonious. this family does not really get along. You can tell there is a lot of
contempt,
infighting about money, because money, problems, right? And this family has problems in spades. So what happens is, while they're having dinner, all these arrows start coming in through the window. Somebody is shooting arrows at them. It turns out to be these men in these animal masks. There's a tiger, there's another one, and there's another one. And as the shit goes down and people are screaming, blood's flying everywhere, that's when Miss Erin just kind of like sits in her power and is like, okay, look, this is what we have to get done. And when I tell you, when I imagine a scary movie situation happening, Erin is the way I would imagine Drea would act, which is like, okay, listen, I don't want to hear the bullshit. I remember when we first got all Twitter painted over Corona, and I was like, what's going to happen? She's like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear this bullshit. We're going to figure it out. And I was like, that does it, but I want to freak out. You're like, no,
I'm a moment. I'm like, bitch.
Right, that's not what we're going to do right now. How did you do my voice?
I didn't do your voice. I was doing me responding to you.
It sounded like you were getting into
I'll do your
Chris
voice.
Tucker just... register.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
You got knocked the fuck out. Two, I was with the diva. So it turns out that Erin in this movie, she has all of these skills, right? Because she was raised on this like survivalist compound in the outback or some Australian shit. And you know when an Australian bitch is getting raised in a thing.
Outback hoes.
Those outback hoes. I went and fuck with an outback hoe. When she takes that melon baller to that tiger mask head, like she was like, you know, I think traditionally in the movie like this, like the scream queen earns the title of scream queen because she has to get grittier and grittier and grittier. And Erin starts off scream queen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Erin starts off, like she takes this melon baller and she hits this fool like 27 times in the head. She's like, I don't even want to know.
I'll
that
tell
you're
gonna when her
lit.
Scream queen moment kicks in. Because not only does she get to just take out motherfuckers, but she's also the one to call out her boyfriend about, you know, like most people would be really like happy to have these kind of conflicts or whatever she says to her. Remember that in the beginning? She talks.
Yeah, that like she's all of a sudden so resourceful. Wouldn't you be?
But he mentions my parents did this and this. She's like, well, that sounds like a lot, but like most people would be like happy to deal with that kind of shit, you know? And
yeah,
and then she goes on to proceed, and yeah, they had jokes. I like the jokes in the film, like the tone's really cool. I do have to make mention, me and Tommy Weeby just having these like real kismet like situations, but yes, we right there. Barbara Crampton, who is also the psychiatrist in Channel Zero Dream Door and an OG scream queen, Reanimator and like Bride of the Reanimator, shit like that. She is also the mother who gets a gnarly ass death in this film. They didn't even show her death, they just show her all fucked up.
You know, and I feel like if Erin was you, that mom, Barbara Crampton, would be me, because she just couldn't deal. Mama lost her mind and they had to put her to bed. She just couldn't deal with nothing.
I would have booty bumped you into a closet. I always told you that. Like, you would have been really annoying. I would have knocked you out, and then I would have, or a booty bump, then knock out, or like chloroform, and then like put you away just so you wouldn't get hurt.
I would prefer the chloroform. I would kind of like,
oh, you're
chloroform.
Gonna get a booty bump too.
Be into that
chloroform
a
and a booty bump.
Okay, booty bump to chloroform. Okay, we can agree that when this shit goes down, you're gonna booty bump chloroform. Okay.
Yes, because you're gonna be running around in circles.
Yeah, no, when we get your neck stitched and the arrows start flying, I just want you to look at me and be like,
you're gonna be on my shoulders. Your big ass is gonna be on my shoulder. I'm like, bitch, get the fuck down. Yeah, I could see all that happening.
I can as well. I will accept.
But
my
you're not useless, Tommy. You are not useless. You know what?
I have dick sucking lips.
Oh Lord, that will take you far, baby. That will take you far.
It has taken me far.
Even when
casting couch,
when you lose them teeth, even in your 90s, you will have them dicks. Them lips are gonna.
Okay, now let's get back to the fucking movie. So then it turns out that it's an inside job, right? That these tiger mask people, these animal mask people have been, are trained assassins who've been hired by one of the cousins. And it turns out cousin and his girlfriend are in on it the whole time.
Was it a cousin or was it one of the other brothers?
One of the brothers. Yeah.
Also wanted to mention that that guy was also, he played Jason in the best, he was in the first episode of Channel Zero.
The guy that got killed by Jason, with the
yeah, the first big kill. He actually passed away last year. I think it was like liver failure or something like that. Unfortunately, damn. Really sad.
Ooh. But I just be drinking my smoothies now because people my age be dropping like,
bitch. Yeah, I'll be 35 in a few weeks. I'm like, I need to just keep on my. I need some protein in my life. More protein. Not that. I don't know.
Get about that whey shit. That shit's good. I have that whey protein.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Send me a link.
We're in LA.
Oh, whatever. We could do that shit. He's indigenous, and sexuals and shit. Yeah. Listen, this little group right here can see a whole lot of shit. Just like y'all can do some shit too. White people, y'all excluded. Sorry. You can just observe.
So let's talk about some of the most satisfying kills. And you know, you like to bring this up when we talk about your next, but the blender.
How fun. And they save it for the right people. Homeboy Evan, as we mentioned, he passed away, RIP. He gets like an ice pick in the head. And then homegirl, he gets the blender.
And then he gets the blender.
And then she gets the ice pick in the head. Like she's over there talking shit, evil bitch. Looking like a scenester fucking S&M bitch. Get the fuck out of
here. You know, some cha-cha lounge looking ass bitch. Like.
Funny. Yes.
We're in LA.
Pascuda,
what did I do?
What did I do? That place don't even exist no more. So yeah, but I
see all your
she looked like a lash ass bitch.
Sarah Toon,
if you're watching this, you're gonna have a laugh at that. Looking like a little fucking she looked like the Facebook killer. Remember that freaking that bitch that was like really into latex and she shot up the Facebook office. She quit and she shot like and killed two people.
Wait a minute. I do remember this. Yes. Vaguely. Yes. Okay. So you're going to put that on her. Okay. I was just going to say she looked like that best friend that shows up to Akbar and is like, okay.
I guess. No, but like, no, bitch, you showed up here just to hate on people. You know you live for this.
So then her bitch-ass boyfriend, who in the middle of all of this shit, took off running. Because that's what a bitch-ass does. Mm. He comes in towards the end. We realize that he's been in cahoots with this brother to take that whole family down.
In cahoots.
And Aaron is like, oh, no. He's like, oh, well, you know, I knew you were going to be okay.
And she like
and her one little text finally like, goes really, out to nigga? The police.
Really? That's what they said in the movie. And she said, really, nigga?
And you're like, okay, well, okay.
And I was like, yes, this is my shit.
Like, you know, she looked like maybe she could have. Like
she looked like she had some Armenian.
Something in there.
Something.
There was a spice in there somehow. There was a spice in there.
A little spicy.
Some in that gumbo.
There's some saffron up in there.
There's some in that gumbo.
There's some roux up in that. Oh.
So she finally, you know, she's like, fuck you, you're a bitch ass. Like, takes him out, you know, double tap style. But then that's when the cop dumbass finally shows up just to watch her kill her man.
Very similar to the original Night of the Living Dead.
Yes.
Sees her do that. Shoots her thinking she's the bad person.
However, she has been laying traps in this bitch all night. And that police officer is about to walk through the front door where she has set a trap and is going to kill her. Do we actually see him die? No.
No, you just see the impact coming and then blackout.
So thank you, Sharni Vincent as Erin, for being competent as fuck. Sometimes I just watch that movie just to watch a woman kill all these people because I'm just like, you just knew what to do.
She literally, as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, bitch, just do this. And then she does it. And then bitch, just do that. And she does it.
And like anytime somebody like us would have been in the theater being like, don't go in. She don't go in there.
She don't do
no.
it.
No.
No. It's really.
She's been taking notes.
This film is smart. And I hope that I hope that there's a way to make a part two. I would love like a prequel. This is a film. I wouldn't be mad about a prequel. I would love
showing her how she handed that shit. Cause she was raised up in the outback, like little girl, like learning how to like, I don't know, fucking gut. I don't know, walruses and shit. I don't know what they do in Australia. What? I don't claim that place. I don't know what they get into.
You know, it's all kangaroo tails. That's what they practice on. You know that. You
she
know.
Cut in the pouch at a kangaroo.
All those chlamydia-filled koalas. They be practicing on them motherfuckers. I can't believe them cute cuddly.
And she can turn an eucalyptus into a knife. That's what they learn how to do there. Yeah.
But yeah, this film is... It's a romp. It's bloody. It's well done. Great characters. From beginning to end, like they just jump into it about 10, 15 minutes in. And yeah, watch it. And cross your fingers if we get a part two. Uh-huh.
One of the kills that stands out in my mind is when that dirty brother encourages his sister to run for the car. Cause he was like, oh, you was all track. Like, you were really good at running. And she's like, okay, ties her hair back. And is like, all right, I'm going to do this. And he's like, okay, when I count to three, I'm going to open the door and you run through. When I count to three, she runs through and there's razor wire right there, at her neck. And that's when I was like,
this movie don't give a fuck. Yeah.
This, he just went and told her to do something and it was right at her neck level. But I just like, from the first time I ever saw this movie, that kill stuck out to me because I was like, that was cold.
Yeah, you're right. Because it happens early on. And then you get overwhelmed by all the kills that come after. But that's the one that sets the tone. That's one of the ones that sets the tone and makes you want to keep watching the film.
Because it was like, oh, this shit's about to pop off. Like, they don't give a fuck. They're going to just, like, take us there.
Mm-hmm. And they did.
All right.
And I'm happy.
Sharni Vincent is Erin, and you're next. You're one of our revered white screen queens.
That shit's rare.
And we don't do the whites very often.
We don't do the whites, but you're a rare one.
What up, queens?
What's that Fat Albert ass sounding shit?
That was my heart re-fired.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
All right.
Keep it.
I'm keeping it. Ain't changing that shit. Okay. Don't forget, we got a Google Voice number and we want to hear from you. So like, tell us, what's the scariest fucking experience you've ever had in a theater? Doesn't have to be a scary movie, just an experience pertaining theater, you know, but we do like when it's a scary movie, but listen,
people calling scary, about like sometimes E.T. you were just like in high school and at the Hillcrest Cinema and you hear and somebody is getting head. And
you're getting like, oh. It in. That is a thing. That's a trauma.
Did you used to work at? Where did you? Did you work at the Ken or you work at Hillcrest?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Both. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The young Drea.
Oh, young Drea. Yes, young Drea. Yes, she was. She was all up in there. But please reach out. Give us your stories, and you might hear yourselves on our little cute little podcast and our phone number. I wish it was 1-900, but it's...
Yeah, you would.
It's 619.
Girl, six ass.
It's motherfucking 619-289-9052. That's again, it's 619-289-9052. And tell us your fucked up experiences. We want to hear it.
Yes, we want to profit off of your trauma. Thank you so much. So, as you know, catch us next week, same time, same place. We don't always know what we're about to talk about, but we know we're going to cut it up. So,
yes, that is happening. And Scream Queen is produced by Alexandra De Palma and Domino Sound.
With lovely theme music by Dog Allison.
And I am Drea. My mommy is still going to kill me at some point. She's been planning it since I was born. She's like, this bitch, she gotta die.
This is that long con. I had this daughter just to whoop her ass.
Yeah. I'm that Drea Washington, and you can find me on the gram. Hey, girl, hey. H-E-Y-G-R-L-H-E-Y.
And I am Tommy. I'm going to help Drea mama kill her. Pico, you can find me at Hey Teebs, H-E-Y-T-E-B-S on Instagram, because I got rid of Twitter and I don't do that shit no more.
Never did it. Never gonna do it. Never gonna get it. Never gonna get it. You can find us on Instagram at Scream Queen Podcast.
And online at screamqueenpodcast.com.
And send us some love notes. We love those. Just whatever's on your mind, y'all. Recommendations, you know, we want to hear from y'all. So that's
what do you want us to talk about? Because sometimes we pass up on stuff that like y'all want to hear us talk about, and you know we're gonna have the good opinions.
Yes, and there's so much still coming out. You can just remind us, you know, are these things that are relevant and you want to hear about? So screamqueen@gmail.com. That's screamqueen@gmail.com. That's screamqueen@gmail.com. And
in the scary movie of your life,
you better scream queen.
We got that pretty good.
That was pretty cute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.